You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Alan Gray. More than 50 years of long-term investing, Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
I don't think anyone needs a reminder of what life was like 5 years ago, certainly not the travel and hospitality sectors of the world. They virtually ground to a halt overnight and almost didn't survive. Fast forward to today and the story looks very different. In fact, some of these companies have shown quite the turnaround. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail with portfolio manager at Alan Gray, Talia Potosis. She joins me on the line now to see what we make of the travel sector. Talia, lovely to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's take a look at the changes we've seen in the travel space or in the travel sectors over the last 5 years, perhaps even longer than that. I suppose the last 5 years seemingly might be the most important.
Yeah, so in some ways, the last 5 years has been very interesting in that you had this huge travel downturn where, you know, as you say, you know, travel ground to a halt. And it felt for some time when we were in that COVID period that maybe, you know, it was never going to recover. And actually, a lot of listed travel shares took a real beating. And across, I guess, the independent hotel space, you saw a lot of hotels going into business rescue, needing to close, needing to be bought out by bigger hotel groups. But then over a much longer trajectory, you know, what's happened to travel? Well, I mean, it's changed enormously. If you think back to the 1990s versus now, you know, travel planning was such an arduous process. You know, you had to visit a physical travel agent, you know, accumulate physical inventories of paper maps, guidebooks, traveler's checks, entertainment brochures. And now, and I think this is part of why the recovery has been as fast as it has been and has rebounded as strongly as it has been since COVID, is it's so easy to book a holiday. I mean, I could literally get off the phone with you now, and I mean, as long as there's enough money loaded to my credit card or as long as my overdraft allows it, I could go and maybe in the next hour, you know, plan an itinerary, you know, based on, you know, online recommendations, log into a platform like booking.com and book out the entire thing and be done with it, you know what I mean, within an hour. So you know, you compare that to what travel booking was like, you know, 15 years ago, and you know, it was weeks of research and visiting those physical travel agents and maybe even calling people overseas to get recommendations, you know, finding, you know, specific meeting points. Yeah, so I think part of the fact that it's so easy now that everything is at our fingertips has meant that the sector has rebounded as you know, more quickly than what many would have imagined.
Talia, do you think this is part of what gives the Booking.coms, the hotels.coms of the world, an edge in the market, understanding that convenience for the end customer is a priority? And is this kind of how we're seeing the travel sector move in general?
Definitely. I mean, to hone in on Booking.com in particular, because that's actually a share that we've owned for quite a while, I would say, you know, their competitive edge is very much in letting the customer choose. So letting the customer curate their own holiday and doing so regardless of the unit economics of that particular accommodation offering to Booking.com. So, for example, you know, as budget travel has gained popularity, Booking.com has increased their offerings into, you know, much cheaper travel accommodations. So you can book apart hotels, which is essentially a cross between apartment and a hotel. So it has all kind of the quasi features of a hotel with the convenience of a service department or any sort of alternative offering. You can book a campsite. You can book a glass and ice igloo from which to watch the Northern Lights in Finland. Sort of whatever you want. So it's that convenience factor. And then it's just letting the customer choose and curate whatever they want and allowing it at pricing points that the customer can choose to buy into. And just on that point, it's really interesting. I mean, we think of, I guess, hotels as being quite expensive nowadays. But if you look at the average booking rate, so the average daily booking rate across Booking.com's platform in dollar terms, the average booking is virtually unchanged now versus 10 or 15 years ago. And that's because people have increasingly moved into more budget sort of accommodation styles, and Booking.com has been there to allow them that flexibility so that they don't have to stay in a high-end hotel, so that they can sort of shop down as their wallet allows them to. I would say it's that convenience. It's allowing the consumer to pay via their own local apps, to transact in their own language, their own currency, to name their own price, also to have the option to cancel at no fee. That was actually something that Booking.com introduced quite early, and they forced the rest of the travel market, they forced their competitors eventually to follow on and to offer the same options.
So Talia, how then from an investment point of view do you start to look at a stock like Booking.com? What are some of the factors? Are these factors that you're mentioning now some of the fundamentals that lead an investor to then say, perhaps this is a good business, a business model I can believe in, and perhaps a business model I should be investing in for the long term?
Yeah, so I mean, there are quite a few factors we look at. There are many businesses, you know, that have a nice business model and offer convenience to a consumer, but we don't necessarily, you know, invest in all of them. And I think one key difference with Booking.com is they generate a lot of cash flow, and they return that cash flow to shareholders. So that's a big one. And then, even though, you know, you can think they're quite big, they've got a lot of scale. And I mean, just on that scale, I mean, they've got 31 million accommodation room listings. And if you think about, you know, in 2024, they sold 1.1 billion room nights. Sometimes, you know, that sort of scale, you know, as an investor, you're looking at it and thinking, well, how's the share possibly going to grow? You know, it's so big. It's so dominant right now. So we look at growth opportunities. And there, you know, I think one thing that has encouraged us is Booking.com is always moving into new spaces. So they now have a flights offering that's gaining a lot of traction. They're loading tours and activities, so experiences, onto their website, so that you can actually plan out an entire itinerary, you know, not just booking the actual hotel room, but now start, you know, bolting on an activity, an experience. So they're essentially capturing more of the consumer's wallet over time, you know, with those kinds of initiatives. Yeah, and then another thing is, obviously, we're thinking about, okay, in the travel space, you know, it's plausible that there could be another travel downturn. You know, every few years there is, you know, and even recently with some of the geopolitical conflict and geopolitical noise that was taking place, there were some areas of the globe that were certainly seeing less travel demand. So there, what's quite important to us is taking a look at, okay, how much of their cost base is variable? So how much could they flex down costs in a travel downturn? And there, they actually have really strengthened the business enormously in the last few years by doing away with fixed costs. And one way they've done this is by being really controlled in terms of employee headcounts. And also in some area of the business, for example, you know, their call center agents, you know, they've replaced a lot of them with chatbots, which, you know, is a whole separate conversation in and of itself, because we can just debate, you know, is that positive for humanity? But it's positive for the company in terms of their cost base, because you don't have to pay a chatbot who's chatting to a customer because they want to change some part of their itinerary.
Navigating the complex world of the global travel sector and identifying areas of opportunity for investment within that space. Thank you so much to Talia Potosis for those insights and for the time. She's the portfolio manager at Allen Gray, joining us to take a look at the travel sector and how to navigate investing in it.
The segment was brought to you by Allen Gray. More than 50 years of long-term investing, Allen Gray is an authorized financial services provider. With over 5 decades of investing experience, Allen Gray remains focused on building long-term wealth for clients by pursuing long-term returns without taking undue risk. Allen Gray, more than 50 years of long-term investing. Allen Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.